From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia offers investor 6 construction projects. More than 88,000 Indonesian migrant workers have returned home. Now the news in details. The Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, or PUPR, has offered construction projects of 5 toll roads and a bridge worth trillions to investors during a teleconference meeting in Jakarta. The 6 projects offered during the market sounding session of the Semarang Palaraja toll road construction, with investment totaling 15.52 trillion rupiah, Cikunir Ulu Jami toll road worth 15.52 trillion rupiah, Sentul Selatan Karawang Barat toll road with total investment of 15.37 trillion rupiah, Patimban toll road worth 7.52 trillion rupiah, Semarang Harbour toll road worth 11.76 trillion rupiah, and a bridge connecting the island of Batam and Bintan with investment amounting to 8.77 trillion rupiah. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that he is optimistic all potential investors attending the market sounding session would find the offers attractive, as several facilities and services are provided by the Investment Coordinating Board, or BKPM, to support them in doing business in toll construction and other infrastructure projects. At least 88,000 Indonesian migrant workers have returned from countries and territory such as Malaysia, Singapore and Hong Kong amid the global coronavirus pandemic. Workforce Minister Ida Fauzia said, as quoted by Antara. The minister also said there will be more than 16,000 Indonesian migrant workers returning to Indonesia in May. Due to the outbreak of the new coronavirus, or COVID-19, the ministry has suspended the departure of more than 30,000 migrant workers to other countries. Meanwhile, the returnees would be allowed to register as recipients of the government's aid programs, including those involving issuance of a pre-employment cards and labor-intensive scheme. Many of the migrant workers have been requested to self-quarantine as part of preventive measures against COVID-19 transmission. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, has requested the people to purchase food from small local businesses to acknowledge and commend farmers who are the producers. Stephen Rutgerd, the FAO representative in Indonesia, quoted by Antara, stated, "It is time for the people to pay attention to one another and to love the people who produce food on the front lines of this pandemic." The FAO also urged people to shop sensibly, follow healthy diets, and be wary while handling food. Overall, the FAO delivered 8 appeals to the public during the COVID-19 pandemic, including maintaining hand hygiene while buying food from markets or supermarkets, advised to not stockpile food at home. FAO has also appealed to the community to be helpful in accordance with their respective abilities to share food or support food banks, community groups, or charities that provide free food for vulnerable people. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy will help micro, small, and medium-scale enterprises, or MSME, to gain access to five assistance schemes prepared by the government for economic protections and recovery amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The ministry has collected data on people working in the tourism and creative economy sector who have been affected by COVID-19. About 213,000 workers in the tourism and creative economy sector have been affected by the coronavirus outbreak in 34 provinces. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Wisnu Tama Kusubandio said in a statement as quoted by Antara, the assistance to be channeled to them will be coordinated with concerned institutions and ministries. The ministry would also continue to develop an independent program to empower MSMEs entrepreneurs in the tourism and creative economy sector. Los Angeles is offering free coronavirus tests to all residents, regardless of whether they are displaying any symptoms. Mayor Eric Garcetti made the announcement just hours after Los Angeles County reported its largest daily increase in new COVID-19 cases. Until now, only essential workers and those displaying symptoms could receive tests due to a scarcity of kits. Meanwhile, California ordered all beaches in Orange County to close. California is the most populous state in the U.S., and while some of its beaches have been closed for weeks, others have remained open with social distancing rules in place. Los Angeles County currently accounts for almost half of California's confirmed coronavirus cases. The state has so far reported over 48,000 cases and more than 1,900 deaths. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he will set out a comprehensive plan next week on how to restart the economy, reopen schools, and help people travel to work following the coronavirus lockdown. He said the UK was past the peak of the virus outbreak, but stressed the country must not risk a second spike. Johnson also said face masks will be useful as part of the strategy for coming out of lockdown. Some more than 26,000 people have now died with the virus in the UK, a rise of 674. The Prime Minister said that UK can now see the sunlight, but he insisted that to avoid the disaster of a second peak. Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin has gone to hospital after he was diagnosed with coronavirus. His positive test came on the same day that Russia recorded a record of more than 7,000 cases, taking the total number of infections above 100,000. Mishustin was given the role of Prime Minister in January and has been actively involved in Russia's handling of the pandemic. Russian TV showed him telling President Vladimir Putin of his diagnosis. Mishustin suggested that First Deputy Prime Minister Andrei Belousov should take his place, and Putin agreed. Mishustin will now go into self-isolation. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news analysis today on Labor Day on COVID-19 pandemic and oil prices drop. The annual Labor Day often sees protests around the world, but this year is expected to be more tame given the ongoing global health crisis. Today, the May 1st mark as the grim Labor Day without big rallies around the world. International Labor Organization, or ILO, warned that a continued sharp decline in working hours globally amid the COVID-19 outbreak implies 1.6 billion workers in the informal economy are in immediate danger of losing their livelihoods. In a written statement, ILO Director General Guy Ryder said 10.5% deteriorations, equivalent to 305 million full-time jobs, is now expected. The previous estimate was for a 6.7% drop, equivalent to 195 million full-time jobs. The estimated reason is due to the prolongation and extensions of lockdown measures, according to the ILO. As a result of the economic crisis created by the pandemic, almost 1.6 billion informal economy workers out of a worldwide total of 2 billion and a global workforce of 3.3 billion have suffered massive damage to their capacity to earn a living due to lockdown measures or because they work in the hardest hit sectors. The first month of the crisis is estimated to have resulted in a 60% drop in the income of informal workers globally. The service sector, which accounts more than half of total workforce globally, will see the greatest impact, especially retail trade, hospitality, food services, as well as transport businesses. Employees in industries where working remotely is off the table, like those in wholesale trade and transport and storage, will also be badly affected as business effectively comes to a standstill. Those in energy sector may lose their position as oil prices have plunged. Aside from workers in the informal sector, enterprises are also facing the fallout of the economic crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, as the proportions of workers living in countries with recommended or required workplace closures has decreased from 81 to 68% over the last 2 weeks. More than 436 million enterprises face high risk of serious disruptions globally, the ILO stated. They are operating in the hardest hit economic sector, including some 232 million in wholesale and retail, 111 million in manufacturing, 51 million in accommodation and food services, and 42 million in real estate and other business activities. In view of these circumstances, the ILO has called for urgent, targeted, and flexible measures to support workers and businesses, particularly smaller enterprises, those in the informal economy, and other vulnerable players. For millions of workers, no income means no food, no security, and no future. Millions of businesses around the world are barely breathing. They have no savings or access to credits. These are the real faces of the world of works. That was News Analysis. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, titling When Europe Eases Lockdown. The number of deaths from the corona COVID-19 virus in European countries reached 120,140 at the end of last week, according to CNN data of April 25th. The highest case of death occurred in Italy, followed by Spain, France, and England. Citing AFP, there are at least 2.82 million cases of coronavirus in the world, with 60% of the total deaths occurred on the European continent. But since the beginning of April, the case of the spread of the coronavirus in Europe began to slow down. It is hoped that the conducive situation will continue into May 2020. European countries began to prepare for loosening of their areas' restrictions or lockdowns. Italy, for example, will begin to loosen the restrictions gradually starting on May 4th. The Netherlands plans to open lockdown on May 11th, while continuing to take strict steps. Schools in the Netherlands will open on June 1st, while cafes and restaurants will open on May 19. Germany, like Italy, will loosen lockdown on May 4th, while Spain plans to stop lockdown in the second half of May 2020. For European countries, it seems that May brought new enthusiasm after the previous months were overwhelmed by this coronavirus. However, there are still many other countries in various parts of the world just entering the beginning of the pandemic. It is estimated that this will still take a few months to control. It is hoped that the easing of regional restrictions in several European countries this May will be successful and does not pose a risk of new transmissions, so that it can be a reference for other regions that are currently still struggling to overcome the corona COVID-19 virus attack. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a story happened on May the 1st, commemorated as the World Labor Day. World Labor Day began with a demonstration of workers in the United States in 1886, which demanded the imposition of 8 hours of work. This demand was related to the conditions at that time, when workers were forced to work 12 to 16 hours per day. The monumental event that became the culmination of the unity of the world labor movement was the organization of the International Labor Congress in 1889. The Congress, which was attended by hundreds of delegations from various countries, decided 8 hours of work per day as the most important demand of workers throughout the world. In addition, the Congress also welcomed the proposed delegation of workers from the United States, who made May the 1st as World Labor Day. In Indonesia, the Labor Day has actually been commemorated since May the 1st, 1920. Next turn to the commemoration of liberation of Western Irian, or currently Papua. When Indonesia proclaimed independence on August 17, 1945, the Dutch retained power in the western region of the island of Papua. According to the Dutch, the area was still one of the provinces of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. The Dutch authorities then began a plan to make Papua an independent state before the 1970s, but the Indonesian authorities refused and Papua became a contested area between the two countries. This was then discussed in various international institutions. In 1962, the United States pressured the Netherlands to implement a secret discussion with Indonesia, which resulted in New York Agreement. This agreement contains the surrender of Western Papua from the Netherlands. On May 1, 1963, Western Papua returned to Indonesia. The last information was on May 1, 1994, Ayrton Senna passed away. The professional car racer from Brazil, Ayrton Senna, was killed in a tragic accident in Bologna, Italy, on May 1, 1994. According to the former British racer, Damon Hill, the best Formula One racer was killed in a single incident. Ayrton Senna, who had at the time won the world title for 3 times, died at the age of 34 after crashing into the Imola circuit fence at the Tamburello Dam. That was Today in History.
Kini semua berbeda setelah kamu ada untuk hidupku yang tersesat. Lelahku yang terbayar melihatmu bahagia, walau rintang tak ada habisnya. Kamu berarti takkan ada yang seperti selalu sampai nanti bahagia bersama selamanya.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Industrialization of National Seaweed to Increase Export. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries through Directorate General of Aquaculture is currently encouraging the industrialization of national seaweed. Director General of Aquaculture, Selamat Subiakto, in Jakarta on Monday, April 27, said that seaweed has a major contribution to the value of national fisheries export. Selamat hopes that seaweed export activities will also contribute to foreign exchange amid the COVID-19 pandemic that affects national economic performance. Not only seaweed, grouper, shrimp, and several other fisheries commodities also provide certainty that the export of fishery products is still running in the midst of pandemic. Selamat said, seaweed export fueled Indonesia's optimism that even in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak, fisheries economic activities are still running. Previously, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Edi Prabowo released 53.5 tons of spinosum seaweed in Serang Banten in the form of dry raw material with an export value reaching 700 million rupiah. Spinosum is a type of red algae with quite large value that encouraged to become one of the leading export commodities besides Eucoma cottoni. Selamat explained, Eucoma cottoni and spinosum can be mass developed in Indonesia. He also invited the cultivating community to cultivate seaweed in the right way in accordance with standard operating procedures so that it will produce quality seaweed products. When releasing seaweed export in Serang, Minister Edi Prabowo recently revealed that this export activity was an exciting moment. Moreover, the expansion of export destinations for fishery products continues to expand, such as Vietnam, which becomes a new market. In 2019, Indonesia's seaweed export value was recorded at $324.84 million, growing 11.31% compared to 2018. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries targets seaweed production in 2020 reached to 10.99 million tons and is projected to reach 12.33 million tons in 2024. The government has formed a working group to accelerate national industrialization. To encourage this matter, the CTF has compiled a roadmap to accelerate national seaweed production. That was My Indonesia.
Bahagia itu sederhana, tidak serumit matematika. Segelas air saat dahaga, bangun siang saat libur tiba. Bahagia itu sederhana, di waktu hati gundah gulana. Sahabat bawa segudang canda, lalu tidak bisa berhenti tertawa. Dapat nilai sempurna, dipeluk erat oleh ibunda. Bahagia itu sederhana, bukan hanya sekedar materi. Bisa juga hanya berbentuk mimpi, atau ketika melihat senyum. Oh,
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I introduce Lengkuas Island in Bangka Belitung Province. Listener, Bangka Belitung Islands Province is one of the marine tourism destinations in Indonesia. There are various marine tourism objects that are interesting to visit. One of them is Lengkuas Island. The beautiful island is located in Sijuk Sub-District, Belitung Region C. The island takes about 25 to 40 minutes from Tanjung Kelayang Beach by motor boat. Tanjung Kelayang Beach is located 27 kilometers from Tanjung Pandan, the capital of Belitung Region C. When you arrive in Lengkuas Island, a row of granite will greet your coming at the beach location. There are a variety of exciting tourism activities that you can do in Lengkuas Island. For instance, you can go around the island by motor boat or just walk to enjoy the beauty of the island. Lengkuas Island is indeed a small island. It is only 1 hectare wide. On the Lengkuas Island, you can do some water activities such as swimming, snorkeling, and diving to enjoy the beauty of underwater marine life. If you like diving, you can see the spot of the wrecked Indomarine ship that sank in 1999. This location is one of the favorite spots for divers. The wrecked Indomarine ship now become a home for coral reefs and colorful small fish. Besides enjoying the natural beauty of Lengkuas Island, for those who love historical tourism can visit the lighthouse area. The lighthouse was built in 1882 by the Dutch government. Until now, this lighthouse still functions well as a guide for ship traffic coming and going from Belitung Island. This lighthouse that was built using steel and brick construction has 52 meters high and 18 floors. To enter the lighthouse, you must pay an entrance ticket of 5,000 rupiah only. On each floor, there is a window to see the outside views. The location of the window is different on each door. So, you can see the beauty of Lengkuas Island and its beaches from every different angle. After arriving at the top, you can enjoy the beauty of scenery, a turquoise sea with granite rocks on the beach of Lengkuas Island. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow in another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Thank you. sesama.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about ITS Creates, an eco-friendly building with a termite nest concept. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Air circulation in a building is an important aspect that must be considered when trying to design a building. Three students of the Department of Civil Infrastructure Engineering created an eco-friendly building designed with the concept of termite nest that is able to provide better air circulation. According to one member of the team, Muhammad Yusri Bastian, currently, Indonesia has many environmental problems. Therefore, eco-friendly building exists to overcome these problems. Yusril revealed that this eco-friendly building adopts the concept of a termite nest. This concept can circulate air from outside. In addition, this concept can also reduce the temperature of heat in the room. This concept was chosen so that the building feels cool without using an air conditioner. He also explains that the temperature from outside was reduced first. Afterward, the air is cancelled into the rooms in it, so the building will feel cooler. Termite nest building can reduce temperatures to 10 degrees Celsius. In terms of building materials, Yusril said that there were non-specific criteria needed in the construction of this building. The building material chosen is almost the same as conventional buildings in general. He also mentioned several advantages, including being able to save electricity by 93% in comparison with the use of air conditioners and 21% compared to the use of fans. As for water usage, this building is able to save water usage by 100% compared to conventional homes. Thanks to this advantage, Yusril and his two friends won second place in the scientific writing competition at the Udayana University in Bali last February. That was Miscellany for today about ITS creates an eco-friendly building with the termite nest concept. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Central Java entitled Tulung, sung by Didi Kempot. Godfather of the Broken Heart is a nickname of an artist who has a real name Didi Prasetyo, or well-known called Didi Kempot. He is a singer and songwriter in pop genre with uses Javanese language. Didi Kempot, who was born in Surakarta in 1966, is still able to attract Indonesian youth through his music. In 2020, amid COVID-19 pandemic, he released a song entitled Tulung. The song tells about someone who is hurt because of his love story. So, he asked to God Almighty through wind and moon in order his heart can be recovered. Deep meaning of the song to be conveyed by Didi is that we must ask for help to the God so that all suffering of Indonesian people, even word from COVID-19, comes to end immediately. Listeners, here is Didi Kempot with a song entitled Tulung. Happy listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
rindu ketika bersama berseteru. Cinta hanya sebuah kata yang tak memiliki makna, hanya ada janji yang tak terpenuhi. Seandainya kita bisa lebih mengerti, memahami cara saling mencintai. Perpisahan bukan jadi jalan terbaik, tapi ku mohon hargai hatiku.
Kamulah definisi cinta. Bagiku kamu yang pertama. Di saat kita berjalan tak pernah satu tujuan. Apa benar takdir memang milik kita?
Seandainya kita bisa lebih mengerti, memahami cara saling mencintai. Perpisahan bukan jadi jalan terbaik, tapi ku mohon hargai hati.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.